MacCast, Wednesday, April 13th, 2005. Hey, Mac Geeks, it's time for the MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geeks. I'm Adam. This is a show where we discuss all things Macintosh. So you noticed that new opening theme music. Well, not new theme music, but are you excited? I am excited. I am really pumped. So the big news is out. The big announcement from we've been waiting for from Apple. We finally know Tiger will be here on April 29th at 6 p.m. I'm raring to go. So there's lots of ways to get Tiger, but of course, I think one of the best ways, and what I'm going to be doing, is heading to your local Apple store. So if you're lucky enough to do that, there's always something really cool going on for OS releases. I will be at a local San Diego one. The other way is through Amazon. You can actually get a discount. They're offering a $35 rebate. If you go to Amazon.com, and actually if you go through shop.maccast.com, click on the link there, you can even support the MacCast. But I am ready to go. Here's some of the details that I have on it. The pricing, it is going to be $129 US for a single user license. And if you want a family pack, which will let you install it on 5 computers, it's $199 US. And then in addition, they're going to be offering a bundle where they're going to bundle Tiger, iLife, and iWork for $249 US, which is going to save you about $50. And a lot of questions have been coming up. People have been asking me about how to prep their Mac for the Tiger install. And I think what I'm going to try and do is put together some sort of special MacCast just on prepping Tiger, probably next week at the very least before the April 29th deadline. So look forward to that. Apple's also releasing Server at the same time. It is $499 for a 10-client license and $999 for the unlimited license. And the big thing that's happening on Server is they're adding 64-bit support and an iChat server, so that should be pretty cool to check out. Also, in preparation for that coming release, a listener had sent me a question about how to get the countdown counter. If you go to apple.com, the main page has a countdown to Tiger counter. He was curious if he could get something like that for his desktop, and I immediately thought of Confabulator. If you guys are not familiar, Confabulator was the original widget program. Feature of OS X Tiger is going to be something called the dashboard, which is going to have these things called widgets built into it, which are basically just little JavaScripts that run right on top of your desktop. Well, a program called Confabulator, out for the Macintosh and the PC now, was the original one that was out for this, and I highly encourage you to go over to confabulator.com and check that out. There are widgets for doing everything, but one of the things that's up there are countdown clocks, and I went ahead and I programmed one for Tiger. Mine only counts down the days. I will, if I get a chance, try and work out one that'll do hours, minutes, and seconds, but at least it's a start. It's something you can put on your desktop and get jazzed and pumped for the release of Tiger at the end of the month. So just like I mentioned, it always seems like between major announcements, there's just a lull in Apple news. And now that Apple announced Tiger, looks like there's just a flood of news coming in. So we just got tons of stuff to cover tonight, and I think it's going to be a really good show. So let's I'm going to get right on with it. Apple put out its second quarter earnings today, and for the quarter ending in March 26th, Apple had earned $290 million or 34 cents per share, and their total sales were $3.24 billion for the quarter. This is a huge jump over the estimates, what everybody was estimating on Wall Street. The estimates said that they were going to have 24 cents per share earnings on $3.2 billion in revenue. So the earnings per share was 10 cents higher than the predictions, which is just amazing for Apple, amazing for the investors, just really cool. And some of the numbers supporting this are that Apple shipped 5.3 million iPods this quarter, and 1.07 million Macintoshes. And the interesting thing about the Macs is the Mac sales were up almost 40% from this same period last year. So I don't know if it's switchers, but something's going on with Apple. They're selling a lot more machines all of a sudden, and I think just the iPod and probably the new Mac Mini. Just based on the listenership to this show, I know I have got a ton of PC users and recent switchers listening to the MacCast. So people are thinking about jumping ship from old Microsoft and coming over and, you know, trying to experience Macintosh and seeing what that's all about. And we welcome you. You know, the MacCast is here. Part of this podcast is to be an extension of the great Mac community that exists, and Mac users help other Mac users, and I think that's just another advantage the Mac has over the PC. And I think if you're a PC user and you've come over, you're already starting to experience it, and there's just more of it available to you. As you get into Macs, I think you're going to discover all kinds of new outlets and support. So welcome. So continuing on with Apple's success, Apple announced also in their report that the iPod Shuffle, Apple's Flash-based player, is now the number one selling Flash-based MP3 player, or at least it was in February of 2005, with 43% of the market share. So almost 50% of the Flash-based MP3 market share in February. So Steve came out and said that was an area of the market they were going to go after. They already have the best-selling hard drive player with the iPod. And the Shuffle is, you know, just set up to take over the Flash piece of the pie as well. So that's really cool. So more iTunes Music Store announcements. Sounds like now Japan is going to be the next country to come on board, or at least a newspaper is reporting that, and I'm going to mutilate this name, Yoshiaki Sakito, who is the representative director for Apple in Japan, is being reported by this newspaper as coming out and have said that the iTunes Music Store for Japan will be out by the end of the year. So if you are living in Japan and looking for iTunes Music, it should be coming before the end of 2005. Okay, like I said, when the news starts flowing, it starts flowing. More iPod news. HP is now selling the iPod Photo. In addition to the original 20 gigabyte iPod, they have an identical look, except of course for the little HP logo engraved along with the Apple logo on the back, and they are exactly the same price. Even the packaging, I guess, is what's really different. HP obviously has their own branded packaging, but the iPod inside pretty much looks identical to the one Apple sells. The one thing that HP isn't doing that's very interesting is they do not have the word photo on the outside of their iPod packaging. So it doesn't say HP iPod Photo, it just says HP iPod 30GB, HP iPod 60GB. And when HP was asked about this, they said they were trying to avoid confusion with their other photo products. So I don't know about that. It sounds a little strange. I don't think you're going to confuse HP iPod Photo with HP, you know, photo smart printer or HP photo cameras or something like that. I'm not really sure I follow there. They did say that it would be prominently displayed, the fact that it did support photos on the outside of the packaging, but they're just not adding it into the name to avoid some sort of confusion that they perceive. So that's really weird. So some of you probably know the National Association of Broadcasters conference is coming up next week, and that's a conference that Apple is normally at, and they are going to have some special announcements, mostly relating to software, or at least that's supposedly what's going on. But a number of the websites, ThinkSecret included, are reporting that they believe Apple is going to announce new PowerMac G5s at this conference. Now, the reason for new G5s is that there are new processors from IBM, and one is a dual-core processor. It's the 970MP, and they're thinking that that's the one that's going to show up in the Power Macs. And the other one is a single-core. It's the 970GX, and that could be you know, if the 970MP isn't ready, that could be the one that shows up in the Power Mac G5, but a lot of people are thinking that's more in line for the iMac G5 as an upgraded processor for that. None of these processors have been officially announced by IBM, but it has been known that Apple has been working with prototypes of these processors since last year. And the big thing with these processors are they offer obviously better performance, but the huger thing to Apple is that they run cooler. So this was also being reported over on Mac Rumors, but now Mac Rumors has come up with an update, and they're saying that their reports are unreliable, or the reports of this are unreliable. So, you know, you can take it for what it means. The big thing about the cooling is, and I just read this on another website, I had no idea about this, and it's probably something if you're a Power Mac G5 owner, you may want to be concerned about. But the current G5s, because the processors get so hot, are the first systems from Apple that have liquid cooling built into them. And the liquid cooling system is manufactured or designed by a company called Delphi. I'm not really sure which way you pronounce it. But according to this report I was reading, Delphi only guarantees the cooling systems to Apple for 2.5 years. And they're saying Apple executives are worried that there's going to be leaks in these systems in a couple years, and that it could cause damage to customers' valuables or possibly leak on expensive carpets, and, you know, they may be getting some lawsuits. More of a concern to me seems to be that, you know, if I'm going to spend all that money on a Power Mac, I'm not going to want my cooling system to go out in 2 or 2.5 years. Most of the Macs I've ever owned, I've owned for at least 4 or 5 years before I even consider a replacement. So that would be a big concern. Apple may need to do some preemptive striking on this and be replacing cooling systems on all their G5s after 2 years if these rumors are really true or this information is correct. But also adding to help support the ThinkSecret report that we may see new Power Mac G5s at NAB is I have information from a MacCast listener who sent me an email, and I'm just going to read what he said in his email because it's very interesting. This is what he says. I was just talking with a friend who works at a local Apple store, and he had some interesting information. The quarterly employee discount promotion came out, and this quarter, the featured machines are all iMacs and some of the high-end G5 towers. He said that in the past, the machines that are offered at the deep discounts to employees indicate which machines are about to get a major overhaul. So look for new iMacs and G5s soon. So Apple Store employees are getting offered large discounts on high-end G5 towers and iMacs. And, you know, that sounds like Apple's maybe trying to clear out some systems to make room for some new ones. So, you know, again, these are all rumors, so, you know, take them with a grain of salt. But maybe an interesting announcement next week, right before we all pick up our copies of Tiger. So you maybe have your Mac Mini, you're a new Mac Mini owner, and you're thinking you want to bump things up a little bit. You know, there's maybe some improvements you want, memory being one of those things, or a new hard drive, something like that. Well, good news is Otherworld Computing is now offering Mac Mini upgrades. They have 3 different upgrades available. One is a 1 gigabyte memory upgrade, and it's $130 US. The other upgrades are a hard drive upgrade and a super drive upgrade. The hard drive upgrade, they're offering 60 gigabyte and 100 gigabyte hard drives in 5400 RPM and 7200 RPMs, starting at $120 US. And they're offering an 8X DVD-R super drive for $150. So if you want maybe a faster super drive, I think that's double the Apple speed, or you want a faster, larger hard drive, you have some options now. And you can do the installation yourself, or they are also offering a 72-hour upgrade program. So they're going to give you a box and everything you need to send your system in, and they will turn it around in 72 hours. And they are offering that for $100 per upgrade. So that might be something you want to check out if you want to do a little souping up on your new Mac Mini. Okay, last thing in the news tonight. .Mac. You guys all know that I'm a huge fan of .Mac. I think it's a really great service. And right now, Apple is offering a $30 discount. You can get $30 off a .Mac account between April 12th and May 23rd, 2005. And the way you get this is, so the normal price is $99 US. You can now get it for $69.95, and that's for a full year subscription. It is open to new .Mac subscribers and existing subscribers who want to maybe extend your current subscription. So I think I'm actually going to really do this because that's a great price. But what you need to do is you actually need to buy the .Mac box, which is available from Apple online or from an Apple store, or you can also get it from an Apple retailer. The only thing is, if you get it from an Apple retailer, you actually have to send in a rebate form. If you buy it the other two methods, either online or from your local Apple store, you get an instant rebate. So great price on .Mac. I just, you know, I always say that I think .Mac is a really great thing. They give you, you know, backup software, virus software, just doing your syncing of your address book and your Safari bookmarks and all those things between Macintoshes, all that stuff really adds up. I think it's absolutely the easiest way to create a website, to create web pages, especially if you want to share photos with friends and family or you want to share your iMovies. So if you're not a programmer or somebody like that, you really probably want to look into .Mac. I think it's a really great way to go. And you can get it inexpensively now, or relatively inexpensively. $69.95 a year is not bad if you break it down by month. Okay, last MacCast, we had a special report from listener Ara on scanning 35mm negatives and slides, and it was received extremely well. You guys really liked Ara's report, and so he is back tonight with part two. You can get a detailed write-up on the report at maccast.com, so head over there. And Ara also has his own podcast on HDTV. It's at htguys.com. So be sure to check out his podcast, and here he is with his special report.
Hi, MacCast listeners. This is Ara Derderian from Mission Viejo, California, and this is the second of a four-part series on how to scan your 35mm negatives and slides. Today we are talking about preparing your negatives and slides for scanning. The main thing to remember here is garbage in is garbage out. If your negatives are in bad shape, you're not going to be happy with the results. And as I mentioned in the previous segment, your scanner and your computer will be able to clean up the imperfections, but if it's possible, it's better to avoid the need to do this in the first place. Don't handle your negatives with your bare hands. Most camera stores will sell lint-free gloves for a couple of dollars. I know it's kind of a pain to put the gloves on and off each time you handle the negatives, but it's less of a pain than cleaning up your scans in Photoshop. Slides are designed to be handled by hand, so gloves really aren't necessary. Cleaning the negative of dust will also improve the scan, and this can be done by brushing it off with a camel hair brush. Camel hair brushes are very soft and won't scratch your negatives or slides. They can be found online or at a camera shop. They're actually not made out of camel hair. The online write-up has a few more details about camel hair brushes. Once the negative is ready, go ahead and load the scanner. Make sure that the scanner glass is clean as well. Dust on the scanner glass will show up just as if it was on the negative itself. All right, so your negatives and your slides are loaded and you're ready to go. But before you hit scan, you have to tell your scanner what you're actually scanning. Your software will need to know whether you're scanning like color or black and white, negative or a slide. And you'll have to select the type of image correction and dust removal you want. Finally, you'll have to set the resolution. I also want to mention ViewScan software. It's made by Hamrick Software. It's www.hamrick.com. And I have a little more about this on the write-up, but the reason I mention it here is they have profiles set up for over 100 film types and negative types and slide types. So in the ViewScan software, you can enter that you're using Kodak 100, Gold 100 Gen 3 or Fuji Super G 400 Gen 1, and they've already profiled this type of negative for you, and they'll automatically adjust your settings to optimize the scan. It's really nice software. You're going to have to pay extra for it, and there's more information on the write-up and at hamrick.com. Now on my Epson, when I hit preview, a nice window comes up with each frame in its own window. And most scanner software will do this. And this is where you can rotate the image and select which images you want scanned, actually. This comes in handy so you don't have to waste your time scanning out of focus shots. So here you make your selections, you hit scan, and you just wait for the results. Next time, we'll talk about adjusting your images in Photoshop. I want to warn you that I'm not a Photoshop expert, but even still, I've done some cool things that friends and family can't believe, and we'll talk about some basic settings. Till next time.
Thanks, Ara. I and the MacCast listeners all really appreciate what you're doing. Next up, we have Steven with a review of the iPod Shuffle armband. It runs about 2 minutes and 55 seconds.
Hey, it's Steven with a mini review of the Apple iPod Shuffle's armband. Stick with me through this review because at the end I'll have 2 tips for power users of the iPod Shuffle armband. Here in Toronto, Canada, the snow has just melted and that means it's time to take up running again. Or in my case, like the name implies, it's more of a shuffle. The iPod Shuffle armband was the one accessory I bought when I first ordered the Shuffle. It took forever to arrive, which caused me to think twice about the $40 Canadian, plus tons of tax, that it cost me. I could have taken my family of 5 to McDonald's, twice, for that much. When it arrived, I knew right away it was a better choice than a basket of Big Macs. It's a great product. Here is the extent of the instructions that come with it. Snap iPod Shuffle into the armband clip. Pull the strap to tighten the armband. To remove iPod Shuffle, simply pull it from the armband clip. That's it, easy as can be. It fits into the armband with the satisfying click that marks the way the end cap and the lanyard work. The plastic receptacle forms a neat dock for the iPod, and that part is firmly fastened to the armband with 4 tiny stainless steel screws. The fabric of the band is some kind of space-age material that deals nicely with sweat and looks like it is washable. It's white to match the iPod with a subtle but cool embossed lettering of the word iPod. There are 4 pieces of Velcro cloth for the gripping part of the Velcro to stick to. This means it fits my young daughter's tiny but beautiful teenage arm and my own middle-aged fat and ugly but strong and useful bicep with equal ease. It will clearly fit any arm but the governor of California, which really is a pity for him. While running, or shuffling, the thing that struck me is how you hardly notice it on your arm. It all feels very light, and the fabric band feels as if it's just another layer of skin on your own. Once put in place, it didn't budge one bit in spite of my ungainly gait. iPod Shuffle armband. 2 thumbs up. And now 2 tips for power users of the iPod Shuffle armband. Tip number 1. If the headphone cable bothers you in the least, bouncing around in front of you, try running the cable around your back and up behind your head. It's a really cool way to use it. The Shuffle is so light and the armband so comfortable, and wearing it this way, it's as if there are no cables and you are a wireless running machine. Tip number 2. When running with your iPod Shuffle armband, be sure to listen to Adam's MacCast, which, believe it or not, is the perfect length for a 3-mile jog. And that's just right. Back to you, Adam.
3-mile jog, huh? I guess it's probably up to how fast you run or shuffle. I thought that was a really colorful review. I think Steven has a really nice style to his review, so hopefully he'll send us some more. Okay, since this is kind of the Tiger announcement episode of the MacCast, I got a great comment from James, who is actually on the new MacCast forums a lot. He helps out a lot of people. I believe he has his own podcast as well. Unfortunately, it slips my mind to what it is because I'd love to give him a little plug here. But anyway, he sent this comment. It runs about 3 minutes and 23 seconds, but it has to do with the compatibility of Tiger.
Hi, Adam. It's James Norton from the UK. I'd just like to say that, as always, I love the show. You do a fantastic job. And if it's all right with you, I'd like to leave a brief audio comment about the release of Tiger. Now, as we all know, Tiger will be released on the 29th of April this month at 6 o'clock, and we are all eagerly awaiting it. But there's been a bit of confusion online about certain machines' compatibility with Tiger, because this time Tiger is shipping as a DVD, and quite a few people who don't have a Super Drive or Combo Drive are wondering if they can install it on their machines. And I will have a similar problem because I have two machines. I have an old PowerMac G4 which doesn't have an inbuilt DVD drive. So what you can do, there's basically sort of three ways to do it. Firstly, if you absolutely positively need it on CD, and pretty urgently, what you can do is you can buy the Tiger DVD, and they have what is known as a media exchange program, where basically you send the DVD back to Apple, along with a check for, I believe, about $10 US, and they send you back a set of CDs which you can install on your machines. So you won't get the DVD back, but you will get CDs. The second way to do it, which will be the way that I'm doing it, is that you can actually use an external DVD drive to install Tiger. Now, I was initially a bit confused with this, because obviously when you install Tiger, what you have to do is you have to hold down the C key, which when you boot, which will boot off the DVD. But with external drives, you can't do this. What you need to do is you need to hold down the Alt key upon booting, and then you'll be able to select your external DVD drive and boot off that. And the third way is that Apple will be releasing the CDs on the shelves at a later date, but no one is quite sure when yet. But they will be releasing CDs, but the DVD will come out first. And if you really are desperate to get it and you don't mind paying the extra $10 for postage and packaging and administration and what have you, then you can send it off and get it back as soon as possible. So I hope this helps people out there. I just thought I'd better mention it because I was puzzled by it myself, looking through the tech specs on Apple's website and stuff. So if you do have a CD drive and not a combo or super drive, please bear it in mind, and I hope it helps you out when it comes to installing Tiger. Cheers, Adam. Keep up the stellar work.
Okay, I'm sure that is going to help a number of people, so thanks, James, for that. Another way, obviously, sort of a fifth way, I guess, that you could get it installed is to buy a DVD drive and install it in your Macintosh if you have that option, if you have one of the towers. I did that in my own blue and white G3 a while ago, and it was a pretty easy process, and I think you can get DVD drives are about $50 US or less, so it's a pretty cheap investment to kind of bring your older Macintosh up to date. And while James was letting us know that information, I went out and found his website. I have a link from the show notes, so if you want to check out James's podcast, go to the show notes and click the link. He doesn't really have a name for his podcast, I don't think. At least I couldn't tell it from his site, but check it out. So as you know, I have a Gmail account, maccast@gmail.com, if you want to send me any comments. And we got a friendly invite from another MacCast listener, Zach. Zach is willing to give out Gmail accounts. He has about 50 invitations for anybody who wants a Gmail. Gmail is now offering 2 gigabytes of mail storage. So if you need an email account with a lot of built-in storage, you want to save a lot of mail, send him an email and he will send you an invite. I have his email address in the show notes, but it is moyopopo@gmail.com. Moyopopo, I guess. I don't know how you pronounce that anyway. But just send an email to moyopopo@gmail.com and Zach will happily hook you up with a brand new Gmail account. So thanks, Zach. All right. So finally tonight, I think I have a email from probably the youngest listener that I'm aware of to the MacCast. His name is, or he goes by Shuby. He does a podcast called The Source Code Mini, but he sent me an email. He's a PC user. He's going to be getting a Mac. His dad's going to be hooking him up with a Mac for the summer. But right now he's on a PC, and he found a great piece of software called FlyAKite that'll actually convert your Windows XP PC to look like a Macintosh. And there's a link from the show notes. I also posted a screenshot and information on the maccast.com website. Now, it does tweak a lot of stuff. It messes with your DLLs. It messes with your registry. So, you know, use it at your own risk. Use it with caution. Shuby told me that it does have an uninstaller and it just uninstalls itself. But I'm always leery of kind of stuff like this. So check that out. But I also want to play, Shuby does his own podcast. And he's 13 years old, and I checked it out. I'm going to play his promo for you now. But basically, he's a 13-year-old, and what I liked about it, I've listened to a couple episodes. It's a little bit like a sound-seeing tour of a 13-year-old's head, I guess you would say. It's just straight through recorded. He records it beginning to end, and it kind of I kind of think it's good for maybe parents because it's a little covert look into what goes on in the life of a 13-year-old. But anyway, here is Shuby's podcast promo.
This is thy podcast from the younger generation. The Source Code Mini.
And you can check it out at sourcecodemini.blogspot.com if you want to tune into the life of a 13-year-old kid.
So that's Shuby's podcast. I will let you know that he has a new website. It doesn't use the Blogspot website anymore. The URL is sourcecodemini.tk. I'm not really sure. I've seen the TK before. If anybody knows what the TK is all about, Shuby probably does. Please send me an email and let me know. I will kind of give you upfront warning. His podcast probably doesn't appeal to everybody, but take a listen and form your own opinion. All right, that's the show for tonight. As always, send me email, maccast@gmail.com. Visit the website, maccast.com. You can leave voicemails and audio comments on the hotline, 206-222-2788, 20-MACCAST-8. I'm going to do something a little different tonight. I am going to leave you with, since we are celebrating the announcement of the Tiger release, I am going to leave you with the track Eye of the Tiger from Survivor. Hopefully the RIAA does not come after me and I am back on the air on Friday. We'll just have to see. But enjoy the track and I will see you all next time.